This morning's reading is Psalm 27, which can be found on page 557 of the Pew Bibles. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Though my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Just move this around. What's your favourite sandwich? Maybe it's tuna, mayonnaise, or a BLT, bacon, lettuce, and tomato, or egg, or prawns, or coronation chicken, or ploughman's, or brie and cranberry, or crab and cucumber. That sounds a bit posh, doesn't it? Or ham and mustard, and it just goes on. That's without even thinking of the kind of bread that you might choose. Why on earth is she going on about sandwiches? Well, I'm saying this because this psalm today is like a sandwich. The filling is this really good portion of seeking and searching and longing. And it's placed within two slices of the bread of confidence, if you like. You'll see what I mean when we get into the passage. So if you can, do keep your Bibles open at Psalm 27. It might be really helpful. And that's on page 557 in the Bibles in the pews in front of you. So the psalm begins in confidence. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I was once sat in the bath when the light bulb popped out of its fitting, hit me on the head, flew across the room, and I was plunged into darkness. It was a really strange feeling to be sat in the bath in total darkness, feeling a bit shocked and vulnerable and not quite sure what to do next. Light stands for everything that's positive, for life and goodness. By it, we see where we're going and it chases the shadows away. Darkness is often associated with confusion. And it's often at night that bad things happen. I once had my car stolen in the middle of the night. Evil deeds are done in the darkness. People can move around without being seen, but light exposes them. The Lord is my light, says the psalmist. And he says, the Lord is his salvation. That means his rescuer. And his stronghold, in other words, his refuge, the place where he is safe. And with the Lord being all this to him, who does he need to be afraid of? In the case of King David, who wrote this psalm, he did have a lot of things that, humanly speaking, he should be afraid of. He is surrounded by evil men who wish him harm, who speak lies about him. David has been in some desperate situations, being hunted down and in danger for his life. Enemies all around, and now we see in this psalm that it's become an all-out war with an army besieging him. But David looks to God, and with God as his light and salvation and stronghold, he says, "Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid?" Even with all these things going on around him, he will not be afraid, but be confident in God and in his care for him, his help, and his protection. Isn't it fantastic that the Christian faith that Oliver has been baptized into is good news? Good news that in Jesus we have the light of the world to follow. And if we follow him, Jesus says, we will never walk in darkness, but we will have the light of life. We've just heard the words that in baptism, God calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it's good news that he is our salvation. The message of the Christian faith that Jesus loves us and came to rescue us in the cross. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot deal with our sin. But through the life and death of Jesus, we're brought back into friendship with God. And good news that he is our stronghold, our refuge, and our safety. And then no matter what life throws at us, we can be confident in God's love and protection. And yet, we are afraid, aren't we, sometimes? You may have people in your life who hold some fear for you, high expectations from your parents, a difficult boss, or criticism and undermining and devaluing from others, unhappy relationships. For many of us, it might be what we are afraid of. It could be our health, the cost of living going up, our family. You might be besieged, that word from the psalm, by thoughts and feelings of anxiety in the middle of the night. But there is a way out of our fear, and that's to make the Lord our light and our salvation and our safe place. Note that it's personal language, my light, my salvation. Each of us needs to make up our minds about Jesus. So we feel David's confidence in the Lord in this psalm. And then we move to the middle of the sandwich, this great portion of seeking and searching and longing. Verse 4 says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Many of us lead busy, busy lives. We work full-time, we're committed to our family life, we want a social life, we want to get to the gym 3 times a week. We might want to study alongside working. We try to keep the house and garden looking like a designer home. When we have free time, we want to travel. We want to keep up with old friends and family. We keep adding to our schedules without thinking what might need to give. So it's not surprising that there is no time to stop and think about what is most important in our lives and to connect with God and seek him more closely. We read here, "One thing I ask of the Lord, one thing." This phrase, "one thing," is also used in the New Testament section of the Bible. Jesus says to a rich man, "One thing you lack." And to Martha, who is so busy, "Only one thing is needed." One thing is about your focus, your priority, and what you want from God. What is the one thing you seek from him? How would you answer Jesus' question to you? What do you want me to do for you? Your answer to that question tells you who you are, where your heart is, where your priorities are. The one thing that the psalmist is seeking is to enjoy the constant presence of God. He could have sought the defeat of his enemies, that they'd get what they deserved, but his one thing lies somewhere else. He most wants to live in God's presence. He uses different words: the house of the Lord, temple, dwelling, tabernacle, rock. It's not about literally living in the temple. It's a way of saying that God's presence can be searched for and found anywhere. And that's even more true for us today, who know that Jesus is always with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't need to go to special places to be in God's presence. We can know him with us as we do the washing up, as we walk the dog, as we laugh with friends, or sit alone. He is there and longs for us to realize that and for that to make a difference to our lives. The psalmist wants to be caught up with who God is, the nature of his character, to worship him and live in his presence. And from that place, he can trust God to keep him safe and restore him. It has the echo of Jesus' words in Matthew 6, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need." What is your one thing that you ask of the Lord? Note, it's not the only thing you ask of the Lord, but it's your one thing, what matters the most. Pray that you will know his presence. If you aren't a Christian here this morning, ask him to make himself known to you. Don't miss out on the one thing that matters most. From verse 7, David's seeking and searching becomes a prayer and a bit more urgent. He's moved to seeking God in more of alarm in verse 8 as the reality of his situation presses in, enemies and liars threatening violence. There is trouble brewing, and he does the right thing. He turns to God in prayer. Your face, Lord, I will seek. God's face is another way of talking of God's presence. If God hides his face, it means he's withdrawn from you and his presence has gone away. David turns to the Lord in his trouble, the best thing to do. And he asks God to hear him, to answer him, to be with him, and to help him. David has already learned that time spent with God is time well spent. I wonder if you've experienced the difference that prayer can make in times of trouble. Sometimes the trouble can simply be resolved, like the time my father-in-law got caught up in flash floods in the Pyrenees, but the worry stopped once we'd heard from him. Sometimes the trouble stays the same, but we find we have new courage to face it. Like the time that my son sustained a leg injury and we were supported by the prayers and the meals of our church family as he went through surgery. Sometimes nothing changes and we have to hold on to what we know about God. Ask others to help us to hold on to the fact that he is always there for us, even if we doubt it at that moment, and that he still remains God, our Savior, as verse 9 describes, our rescuer. In the baptism service this morning, Oliver's parents have acknowledged that they have missed the mark when it comes to God's holiness and have stated that they turn to Christ as Savior. If you're baptized here today, whether or not you can remember it, make that decision your own once more today and turn to Christ again. We deserve nothing, but we can be sure as we turn to him that he never leaves us. I'm sure that James and Bryony are utterly committed to Oliver and to Harry, but God is even more committed to them, yes, even than their parents. Human love and acceptance sometimes has limits. You may have found that yourself when you've seen how your grown-up child has chosen to live their lives, which might be so different from how you brought them up. Yet God's love for them still goes on. Verse 10 says, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." That's the truth for you and for me. God will not reject us when we come to him, nor will he leave us at any point after that. Perhaps your parents weren't great. Perhaps one of your parents did leave you or constantly let you down. But the Lord will always welcome you. He's never too busy for you, and he will be both mother and father to you. So David seeks God's face, and he prays in verse 11, "Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path." He wants to walk in God's way through God leading him in a straight path. A straight path was one that led to life. It was straight and level and smooth without obstacles in the way or temptations to knock someone off course. Any slip could be used by David's enemies against him. Moses also echoed this prayer as he walked with God. "Teach me your ways," he said, "so that I may know you." It's a great prayer to pray. Take confidence in the Lord as your light, your salvation, and your stronghold. Seek his presence, seek his face, ask him to teach you his way. And then finally, the last bit of the sandwich, continue to take confidence in the Lord in those last two verses. David says that despite all that is happening, despite those who breathe violence towards me and say all sorts of things that aren't true, despite the danger I am in, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David's prayers of distress and longing are sandwiched between his reliance on God and his trust and confidence in him and who he is. He trusts in the fact that he will see God's goodness while he is alive. It can be experienced here and now in this world. He expects to see God answering prayer sooner or later. And the same is true for us. If we walk with God, we will get to see plenty of his goodness throughout our lives. One thing is needed: to draw close to God, to seek him. And that's you and me. It's expressed again in the single person. You and me, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. Waiting for the Lord in the Bible is not about that dispiriting waiting for something that might never show up, like a bus, or for someone to return your call, or that waiting in all morning for someone to come and repair your shower and they never appear. Waiting in the Bible is about standing on tiptoe, waiting with real expectation, alert and eager for what is going to happen. And it gives us heart and strength, because God is worth waiting for, and this waiting will be rewarded. This psalm begins and ends with a strong note of trust. There is confidence in the writer that God will take care of him, but also awareness of all that's going on around and that he needs God's presence and guidance to get through life's storms. Use this psalm as a prayer when you want to be reminded of who God is, his goodness and his presence, and when you know you need his help. Ask and wait with courage and confidence. For in Jesus, we have the promise of the security that the psalmist longed for in the midst of life's dangers. Paul, that great New Testament follower of Jesus, wrote this: "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. Be our light and our salvation and our strong tower. By your Holy Spirit, draw us to you. May we long for your presence. May that be the one thing we seek above all else. Teach us your ways, Lord. Lead us in straight paths. Give us a fresh confidence in your goodness and your love, a love that nothing can separate us from in Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.